let's talk early stoppages. And I understand this is a thing in MMA where people always argue, well, was that stoppage early or not? And the most recent example is the Derek Lewis fight at UFC 277. A lot of people felt that that fight was stopped early by Dan Margiotta. I disagree. And one of the reasons I disagree, and one of the reasons that the phrase early stoppage makes me cringe, is that it implies that the referee, I guess, did their job too well, and that the referee denied the fan, quote-unquote, closure in the fight, and closure in the fight being a complete and utter knockout where the fighter's left unconscious and unable to defend themselves in the octagon and or cage. I don't want to just say octagon because UFC trademark. So what I think here is when I hear early stoppage and why it makes me cringe is because, again, that implies that the entertainment is more important than the health and safety of the fighter, and that should never be a discussion we have in this sport. So when a referee makes a stoppage, if it happens before a fighter goes completely out, I'm okay with that. And I'm going to side with the referee 99.9% of the time. And in this instance, I sided with the referee. I don't think it was a bad stoppage. I don't think it was an early stoppage. I think it was a stoppage that Mergliata saw that Lewis was exhibiting behavior that was putting himself at danger, and so he stopped the fight. You can argue that it was early. You can be, but you're going to fall on the side of being wrong, because Mergliata said that in his mind at that moment was, this fighter's in danger, I'm going to stop it so that fighter doesn't take any more additional unnecessary damage. The immediate and future health of a fighter, in this case Derek Lewis, is more important to me and to the referee. It should always be more important to the referee than some fan getting quote-unquote closure by seeing that fighter lose by complete knockout. And the other reason it bothers me is it's usually followed by this phrase, and this is a phrase that John McCarthy, who was a referee, used when he was discussing Derek Lewis's loss at UFC 277. McCarthy said, I don't think the results would have changed. Well, then that's not a bad stoppage. If the results were going to be the same, in this case, Derek Lewis getting knocked out, then that's a good stoppage. It's not a bad stoppage. It's not an early stoppage. If the result was going to be the same and the fighter was prevented from taking additional damage, that's the definition of a good stoppage. Your entertainment and your getting closure in that fight don't outweigh the safety of that fighter. That's not how MMA works. That's not what the referee's job is. It's safety first. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, I'll take 1,000 early stoppages over one late stoppage, because the end result of those quote-unquote early stoppages is a fighter perhaps extended their career and perhaps is a little more healthy because of the quote-unquote early stoppage. A late stoppage, well, that fighter took a lot more damage than was necessary, and that could have shortened their career, and it could shorten their life, and it could shorten their healthy life because they took sustained and unnecessary damage to their brain. So no, I don't believe there is, I'm 99.9% of the time, I don't believe there is an early stoppage. I don't think the Derek Lewis stoppage was early, and I'm going to side with the referee, like I said. So if you're saying early stoppage and it's because you didn't get your money's worth of entertainment, I'm sorry, but the health of the fighter is more important than your entertainment. Now, I know this is going to be the argument, well, a quote-unquote early stoppage costs that fighter half their pay, and that's not true. The UFC and MMA pay structure costs that fighter half their pay. There is no proof, and you will not convince me that there is proof, and that the win and show structure of fighter pay is the right structure of fighter pay. It's not. It's a fantasy that allows the promotions to have the pay of a fighter in the idea that a fighter tries harder if they're only getting a winning show. That's not, you just can't see that. I just can't be convinced that a person who is locked in a cage with another fighter and they're both trying to end to be a submission or knockout, that fighter is night. They're going to try harder if they're getting, if the whole idea is a win show. That's not a good argument. And to argue that in this case, in the early stoppage, you should be arguing more that fighter should be getting a flat rate than at a referee for ensuring that a fighter is safe. They're two different arguments, and neither one is really an argument. An early stoppage makes the fighter safer, and a flat rate pay is better for MMA fighters. It's just the way it is. You will not convince me otherwise. And while we're on the subject of pay, Sean O'Malley was on the MMA Hour, I think this was last week, and I forgot to get to it, but I'm going to get to it now. And he said, "I am my management. Solo dolo. No middleman. No one taking a random percentage for being a middleman. I do all my deals, and shit gets done right." He went on to say UFC gets a sponsorship deal, and whoever handles all that at the UFC, they're like, UFC wants Sean O'Malley. I'm going to go to his management. And then the manager takes 20%, 15%, whatever, just to tell me about the deal. Not to do anything, just to say, hey, the UFC called, you want this deal? Sure, it's the same thing with fight money too. You want 15% of my money because you did what? No, that ain't happening. Oh, you want a bonus too? That ain't happening. 100% on the money here from Sean O'Malley. Most MMA fighters, most UFC fighters do not need managers. Because basically the UFC dictates terms when it comes to fighting and it comes to contracts. If someone like Sean O'Malley is being dictated his fight money and his contract money by the UFC, what hope does a fighter with lesser exposure than Sean O'Malley have of getting a better deal through a manager? It's pretty close to 0%. Now, if a fighter doesn't want to deal with the cost from the UFC, if a fighter doesn't want to deal with trying to strike up their own sponsorship deals, if a fighter doesn't want to deal with any of that, then fine. But remember, it's going to cost you anywhere from 10 to 20% of your pay to get a manager. So maybe get someone, a friend, a family member, to deal with this and pay them a little less just with the agreement. You know, you know, all you're doing is relaying information, because that's what a manager is doing in the UFC. Like he said, the UFC calls and says, we have this date and we have this opponent. Right now we have this opponent. Can you fight? If you say no, they'll just move on. If you say yes, the terms of your contract are already written in stone pretty much, unless it's moving up to a main event. And Sean O'Malley has not done that yet. And so your pay is pretty much set. Your opponent is set for that moment. If your opponent changes, the UFC is going to call and ask if you want to stay on the fight. And if you want to get paid, you've already have some expenditures in your camp probably by then. Then you're going to say yes. If a sponsor calls and says they want to give you X amount of money for X amount of exposure for this deal, why does a manager need to do that? Sean O'Malley is 100% on the money here. Unless you absolutely abhor doing this kind of work or can't find someone else to do it for you at a lesser rate, then get a manager. But know that the manager is really just saying yes or no to the phone calls from the UFC and just relaying information. Now, if you get big, if you get a lot of opportunities, if you're a champion and then the sponsorship deals are coming in, the offers are coming in, personal appearances and things like that, well, then maybe you consider it a manager or someone to handle those affairs and work out some deals. But to think that it needs to, that person needs to get 10 to 20% of your pay, no. And that really is unnecessary until you get to superstar status. And even then, it's probably still unnecessary if you're in the UFC, because the opportunities of sponsorship are pretty limited just because of the nature of UFC contracts. And the one thing that I don't agree with Sean O'Malley on this is that he seems to think that the UFC providing him a platform, and this is kind of what the UFC says, the UFC provides a platform and an opportunity for him to sell his merchandise. That, while technically true, I don't think fighters should look at it like that, because that kind of gives the UFC an out for lower pay and for limiting exposure on sponsorship deals. The UFC should be more of a partner for the fighters than it is. Right now, it really limits the UFC fighters' ability to get their own sponsors, because you can't wear sponsor clothing anywhere on UFC Fight Week, really. And that's where you're going to make your big money, from sponsors. And that's limited. And so the platform, yeah, it is a platform. But I think if you would ask most UFC fighters, that platform is really limiting what they can do as far as making their own money and promoting their own brand. So Sean O'Malley is absolutely correct on the manager part, not so much on the platform part. Dr. Dana White. At UFC 277, Dana White said two things that turned out to be untrue. The first was that Anthony Smith did not have a broken leg. He did. And the second was that Juliana Pena would need plastic surgery to repair the cut on her forehead. Both things, like I said, turned out to be untrue. And I think the problem here is that White really needs to wait until he gets correct medical information before he relays it. Should the UFC be relaying medical information to fans and media in the aftermath of a fight, especially if that fighter got knocked out or got injured badly? Absolutely, it should. But should it wait until it gets that information right? 100% it should wait till it gets that information right. So I don't think White getting a whisper down the hallway kind of deal from a cursory examination in the backstage area is good enough medical information. I think especially if the fighter's gotten transported. If the fighter's not getting transported, maybe that's good enough. But if a fighter's getting transported to the hospital for further examination, wait until that examination takes place. There's nothing wrong with saying fighter X has been transported and we're waiting for further information on X, Y, and Z. That informs the media and the fans that here are the issues the fighter might be facing, and we're going to follow up when we get the right information. So to go off half-cocked, it does a disservice to the fighters. It does a disservice to the fans. It does a disservice to the media. And White did follow up on the Smith thing, and here's, I think, where we get into an issue with this. And here's what he said on Tuesday at the Dana White Contender Series. I just wanted to tell you guys that, because sometimes it makes him look like, oh, he's trying to get out of the fight and he's claiming he broke his leg. The way I looked at it was that he got kicked so effing hard he thought his leg was broken, you know what I mean? But he legitimately has a bad break in his leg that is going to need surgery. I just wanted to put that out there for him, because I was the one who said it wasn't broken. Pena followed up, I think, the day after White said she was going to need plastic surgery by saying, tougher than a $2 steak. Thanks for the love, everyone. Just a cat scratch that required a few stitches. No chunks missing. No surgery necessary. Love you all. We're one and one now. And the issue here is that we see this, and this is a media issue. The corrections never get the press that the initial statements get. And so when White says this on fight night, Juliana Pena is going to need plastic surgery, that's what everyone reports. Not everyone reports the correction. Not everyone reports the follow-up. And if they do, it gets lost in the shuffle, because it's, one, it's not from the president of the UFC. Two, it's after the information from White has already gotten out there. And that's the same thing that happened with Anthony Smith. White said it wasn't broken. A couple days later, Smith says it is broken. And it kind of gets lost because it wasn't on fight night. There's nothing wrong with waiting to be right, especially when it comes to medical information, and especially when it could make a fighter look bad in the eyes of, I don't know, of someone. And I guess Smith, I guess, could have looked bad in the eyes of some folks, like White said, folks who are kind of knuckleheaded and say, oh, he won it out, so he faked that he broke his leg. Well, his leg was broken, and he deserved to have that information get out there correctly the first time. The World MMA Awards, get a come on now, because, and I know this is just a popularity contest, but what rubs me the wrong way about the World MMA Awards is that, one, people take them seriously, and it's a fan-voted thing, and I don't know how seriously you should take fan votes on really anything, because there are fan votes, and a certain person, a certain format, a certain whatever can have more robust fans than others, and so that person wins based on having, you know, more into it, so to speak, fans. But what I think is the problem here with the World MMA Awards, and what I want to focus on here, is that the media source of the year, two of the five media sources of the year in the World MMA Awards are UFC partners, ESPN and BT Sport. And I can't abide by that. I can't take that seriously. I can't say that the media source who is a partner with the promotion is going to be in the running for media source of the year, because that media source isn't unbiased. They're 100% biased. It's just the nature of the beast. They're not gonna critique the UFC as hard as an independent would. And even some of the independents are, I wouldn't say in the bag for the UFC, but they know that if you overstep your bounds in the eyes of the UFC, they can cut off your access and they can hurt you in other ways. And so the whole media source when it comes to MMA especially, I don't really think that should be a voted upon award, and I especially don't think that it should be voted upon when two of the five media sources are partners of the organization they cover. Those two should be disqualified from the get-go. And that's not to say that the people that work there don't do a good job. Many of them do. But it's a bad look. And I think they should be out of the running there. That's just my opinion. So referees. Should referees attempt to influence doctors that come into the cage to examine fighters? And this is what we saw in the Matthew Semelsberger and Alex Morano fight. Semelsberger's eye was swelling badly, very badly. It was almost shut. And Dan Mergliotta called the doctor in to look at it. As soon as the doctor stepped foot into the cage, Mergliotta said, I think he said something about it, well, it doesn't look too bad. And then the doctor gave a very cursory examination of the eye and said, fight on. Now, had this happened in Nevada or California, where the doctors have seen a lot of activity and a lot of MMA action, I don't think that this is a big deal, because I think the doctor is focused on their job. But in a state that has, let's say, questionable commissioning, like Texas, this is a big issue, because if I'm a doctor and I haven't seen a ton of MMA injuries, or I'm a little nervous because it's the UFC, it's on a big stage, when the referee says that, maybe that sticks in the back of my head a little bit and I think, okay, this probably isn't that bad. I'm just going to glance at it, make everybody happy, and move on. The doctor's job is not to make the referee happy. The doctor's job is not to make the fighter happy, not to make the fans happy. The doctor's job is to look at that injury and determine if it is bad enough that it is going to cause permanent damage in the long run. It's not to say, oh, that cut's just bad. It's to say that that cut is bad and it's going to do more than cosmetic damage. It's not. It is to say, in a case like Semmelsberger, his eye is closed. He doesn't have enough vision to defend himself properly, and therefore I'm going to stop the fight. We didn't see a good examination here, and I think one of the reasons is that because the referee was influenced by what Margliata said. I don't think referees should say anything to the doctors other than, can you check out his eye? And then the doctors determined he can see, he can't see, that in this case, or the cut is bad enough to stop the fight, or whatever the case may be. But I don't think that the referee should make any kind of statement other than, can you check X out? Anything else, I think, is trying maybe a little bit to influence the decision here. The crypto.com bonuses are kind of silly. Now, I'm all for trying to get fighters paid in any way possible to get them more money. But this crypto.com fan-voted bonus, it's not working out well. Not working out well at all. And UFC 277 was another example of that. Brandon Moreno got the top bonus, which, okay, great fight. Won that fight. Can't argue that. Amanda Nunes got the second bonus. Again, great performance. Won that fight. Can't argue with that. Derek Lewis, who got knocked out, got the third. I can't argue with that. There was a lot more. There were many more fighters more deserving than Derek Lewis for that bonus. And what this UFC crypto.com fan voted bonus has become is fans just voting on their favorites. We've seen it enough times now. And I don't want to take money out of someone's pocket, but I also want to reward the fighters that deserve to be rewarded here. And I'm sorry, but if we're going to vote on a bonus for UFC 277, Derek Lewis isn't someone who should be in the running for that bonus. So I understand the idea behind this, but I also understand that when the UFC allowed fans to vote on bonuses, Dana White quickly nixed it because he saw that the fans didn't get it right. And crypto.com, I don't know what they can do to fix this because it's just kind of a wide open thing at this point, but just allowing you to vote on whoever you like, it's really not working for fighters who might deserve a bonus over fighters who definitely don't deserve a bonus. Hamzat Chimaev is saying the right things going into his fight with Nate Diaz at UFC 279. And here's what he said about the odds. And now people are saying, oh, you're going to win the fight. But Diaz lost his fights. That's why I think he's an underdog. If he was on a winning streak, this has to be like 50-50. People are going to think like, oh, he's also good shape. Now everyone talking to guys like, old as shit. But it's still a fight. Fighting is dangerous, you know. I'm just happy to fight with that guy. And I like this. I like that it's respectful. I like that it's honest. And I like that it acknowledges the fact that, yeah, Nate Diaz could win this fight. Nate Diaz can win any fight. Diaz is the underdog here. And he deserves to be the underdog here because, well, he's getting older. He's been losing more than winning. But he approaches every fight, and I think he's going to approach this fight this way as well. With a nothing-to-lose attitude. And I think this fight is especially going to be a nothing-to-lose attitude because this, he knows, this is his final fight on his UFC contract right now. And he, other than damage and the outcome of the fight, Nate Diaz really doesn't have anything to lose here. He's going to go into free agency. I'm guessing he's going to go into free agency. And I don't think a loss to Chimaev is going to hurt him in the negotiations. And so, what has he got to lose? Nothing. And I think Chimaev knows that. And I think he's being respectful here and realistic. But But I also think a little bit is he doesn't want to invite the head games of Diaz. He's just trying to kind of play this smooth across the board and show respect. Maybe that'll change as the fight nears. But why get into a war of words with Nate Diaz when you don't have to? Why fan the flames? Why get everybody all fired up and let him get in your head a little bit? Which I'm sure Diaz is going to try and do anyway. So why make it worse on yourself by encouraging it? And, you know, the realistic situation is that Nate Diaz is the underdog. But Chimaev knows that Nate Diaz is a dangerous fighter. And he's playing it. I think he's playing it as correctly as he can. If he somehow loses, which is a possibility, well, he showed due respect to Nate Diaz and his skills. And, yeah, I'm sure he's going to get a earful of grief from the fans and the fans who bet on him to beat Diaz just because of how much of a favorite he is. But that's not his problem or concern. I think this is a good approach for him. I like it. I don't know how long it's going to last. But, you know, Nate Diaz, say what you want about Nate Diaz, but he's been in the UFC for a long time. And I think he deserves the kind of respect that Chimaev is paying him here. You don't have to like him as a person. But as a fighter, as a competitor, he's going to bring it. And I think Chimaev's taking the right tack here. The UFC Hall of Fame. UFC Hall of Fame induction took place on June 30th. And if you go to the UFC's website and you go to the UFC's Hall of Fame portion of that website, you will see no mention of the folks that got inducted this year. And again, that induction ceremony took place on June 30th. And I know the UFC Hall of Fame is not what it was intended to be when Ant Evans pushed for it so hard. But I think the folks who get inducted are proud to be inducted and proud that they were put in the UFC Hall of Fame. And to not have even taken the time to update the website since June 30th, that website should have been updated the day that these folks were inducted, with the video of the induction, with the reason they were inducted, and some fanfare. To not have it up here on August 5th is disrespectful, and it shows that the UFC doesn't take its own Hall of Fame very seriously. And I know people are going to make fun of it because it's literally in a hall, but think about the fighters and the other people who have been inducted, and think about the fact that, you know, they put time, blood, money, a lot into getting inducted. And so it means something to them. And to show them that level of disrespect, I'm not a fan of that. And I think the UFC needs to correct that ASAP. And going forward, they need to do a better job of updating their web pages for their Hall of Fame fighters. And get that corrected and deal with it on the day of the induction ceremonies. It's just the right thing to do.